There comes a time in everybody's life when they seriously think about making some large changes. Some of those large changes may include a move to the other side of the world. And considering various aspects of what is going on around the world, I personally would not blame anybody who is looking to exit stage left. I'm Rafael DiFuria, welcome back to another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, and roll that intro. This week's episode is a little bit of a follow-up to last week's episode, so if you haven't seen that yet, you can watch them separately, but I think it might give you a little bit more context as to what I'm going to be getting into this week. But just like last week, I'm not here to get into politics, talk about current events. If you're wanting to jump into those topics, there are plenty of resources that you can find. This is not going to be one of them. This episode is to talk about what are some of the things that, if you've never moved abroad before and you're thinking about what are all the things that you have to have in mind to get going to pack up and go, this is going to be your short list of initial things to consider. For each and every individual and family or couple or whatever, there are going to be different considerations that you may have to take into account that might not apply to someone else and might not be mentioned in this episode. This is just a very generalized look at what may be necessary. And starting in no particular order, let's talk about language, because so many episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter have started off with linguistic needs. The first thing to consider: if you are seriously thinking of packing up and going to another country, what is the language, or what are the languages that you speak? If you speak, say, Spanish or English or Turkish or maybe Georgian, Guarani, whatever it could be, that aspect alone can very much help you make a decision as to where may be optimal to move to. But looking back at last week's video, of course, that optimal place based on linguistics might not necessarily match up with a location that you might find to be maybe ideal from a safety perspective. So another thing that you can think about is going to be, what are the countries or locations that you have some sort of tie with? Where do you know people? Do you have connections to a certain place? Of course, this is talking about maybe from a social aspect, but you also have to consider the legal aspect, because just packing up and going, in most, if not all cases, the vast majority will say, is really not going to work out in your favor. Just to pack up, take a plane, land, and arrive, and think you're going to live someplace is not necessarily realistic. And for those of you who've watched Not Your Average Globetrotter for a while, you'll know what one of the biggest considerations, if not the biggest consideration, is. And that is your legal ability to remain in that location. Can you get dual citizenship? Or if you don't have an ancestral tie to that country, how long will it take you to get citizenship through residency? Is it a country that even allows for citizenship through residency? Can you become a citizen of that country? Or if you can become a citizen of that country, are you going to have to give up the citizenship of your home country, your birth country? If you're the type of person that's ready to give up and have everything gone, then that's one thing. I mean, there have actually been some rumors going around with a potential realistic possibility of the cost of renunciation going down to, like, what, $400-something? So for some people who may not have thought about renunciation before based on the price alone, this could make that aspect maybe a little bit more realistic and a little bit more doable. I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't give up your American citizenship. For some people, retaining your American citizenship makes perfect sense. But for other people, I think there are situations where maybe it doesn't actually make sense to keep your American citizenship. And of course, there's always the argument from many of those who think, oh, but what if you ever need, or if you think you, the opportunities that it gives you. There are many people who are American citizens, or what are sometimes called even accidental Americans, that have no real tie to the country other than maybe they have a parent from there, or maybe they were born there, but they haven't lived there for the majority of their life or a good enough period of time that they don't have a connection with the country. So definitely an understandable thing to do. And that's the other thing to think about, is if you are an American citizen thinking about moving abroad, how is that going to affect you logistically from a tax perspective, Social Security, all of the arrangements that you have to make in life for some of those things that, if you have been part of the system, you may actually need to take into consideration. So not only are we talking about, like, how can you get citizenship though, but One really important aspect is, how can you land legally? In some countries, depends on where in the world you are, some countries might let you land with a tourist visa and figure out a way of converting that somehow into a residency visa. In a lot of Europe, that's not the case. But if you are seriously thinking about making a move abroad and you want to make sure that you can legally reside in the destination of your choice, that's the next thing that you really do have to think about, is how can you not only enter the country legally, but remain in the country legally. Some countries you'll need an entry visa and then a residency permit to be able to stay there long term. Sometimes the visa is the thing that you just have for good. But from country to country, the requirements will change or can change immensely. So definitely do the research and figure out how you can actually go ahead and do that. And it's not like you can just get a visa, generally speaking. Sometimes you actually have to go through a process that can take months or longer. But there are some countries where you might be able to get lucky and it could take you weeks, but that's less common. And there are going to be things like, for example, if you're retired, many countries offer retirement visas. Now, some countries are offering digital nomad visas, or some countries that have announced digital nomad visas are still waiting for those to take place. Italy, I may be looking at you here. But of course, one of the not most sure, but one of the most solid ways of being able to go to another country legally is if your spouse happens to be from there and their country maybe might allow you to get a spousal visa or family reunification visa to be able to remain with your spouse. But to talk about Italy again, but maybe in a different light, it's something that's actually really amazing, very specifically about the Italian constitution, is that it protects the rights of couples to be able to remain together. So that's a really, really interesting detail that for some couples could be a make or break detail, depending on if their spouse would be allowed to be there or not. Of course, this is all going to be dependent on criminal record reports and checks and all of those sorts of things. But there are going to be countries that are not going to be like Italy, and probably most countries don't have that protected in their constitution. But that's something that I personally have always found fascinating about the Italian constitution. And I've mentioned this in a number of episodes of not only Not Your Average Globetrotter, but the Italian Citizenship Podcast that I also co-host with Italian attorney Marco Pedmunian, good friend of mine. So if you do find yourself in those circumstances where your partner, husband, wife, whatever it may be, is actually from a country that would allow you to get that visa, finding out how you can get that visa will be very, very important. But we have yet to talk about one of the most important factors of being able to live, period, anywhere, regardless abroad or at home. And that is talking about how you can make your living. Over the years, I've had a number of people contacting me, hey, how do I get a job? How can I this or how can I that? And how can I support myself once I get to that country? Personally, I would say that might be the wrong order in which to look at things. As I've said in a number of episodes, I think it is really important to see, if you are considering a move abroad, how can you get a job before you arrive if you are in the situation where you have to work? Or how can you figure out a way of working online? Because there are many situations when a person might be looking at moving abroad to another country. But maybe, for example, if you don't speak the language, or depending on your education or what skills you have available to you, then I have seen actually many people getting stuck in fields, picking vegetables and fruits. So is that something that you're prepared to do? And is that something that is what you are actually looking for? There might be some people who actually are looking for that on a temporary basis, where maybe they go and they do a work away program where they go and work on a farm, and then in exchange, maybe they're given a place to sleep and food at the end of the day or throughout the day. But there are people that do think that maybe when they move to another part of the world, that all of a sudden they're going to have a great job. But personally, my opinion is that if you have a way of figuring out that job that is your ideal before you move abroad, whether that is you already have everything that it takes to do that job and you've applied for that job and they're actually willing to sponsor your visa, because that's another thing. A lot of employers are not interested in sponsoring visas unless you are very, very highly qualified or very particularly skilled in a certain area. Then in many countries, it will be very hard to find an employer who will do that for you. And not that it doesn't exist, but what I would say is, especially in the past few years, with how much easier it has become and much more commonplace working remotely has become, if you can figure out a certain skill set that will help make you actually a very valuable asset, regardless of your location, and if you can start that in your home country. Again, this episode is more talking about that you're ready to roll and you're ready to get out of your country. Then this is maybe not the ideal, but in an ideal situation, you would be able to figure out that remote job before you leave your country. And you may find that if you are looking to move abroad for professional opportunities, that if you can figure out how to make that living for yourself remotely, maybe depending on what part of the world you're from, the location that you're from actually could be more ideal, because maybe the amount that you're earning might go further. But this is not going to be everybody. And yes, this episode is maybe a little bit more intended for the North American audience out there. But again, there are various little details that can be relevant to some people, maybe not to everybody, but could be worth exploring regardless. Another major factor, if you are especially thinking about, hey, world's going crazy, I'm ready to go right now, my next question would be, how physically ready are you and how physically able are you? Physically, I mean more as in the things that you have tangibly around you, yourself, your belongings, your home. Do you have a home that you own or an apartment that you own? Do you have a lot of things that you need to give away? Are you just going to be throwing trash bags of clothing away? I would say, depending on your size and depending on how closely your physical stature matches up with the place that you're thinking about going, the general population there at least, you may want to hold on to some things instead of thinking, oh, when I move abroad, I'm going to replace my whole wardrobe. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And speaking from the perspective of somebody who tends to be a little bit taller and a little bit broader shouldered than the average general adult his age in the countries that he's lived in, finding clothing, if you're not part of kind of the regular size group, can be a nightmare. For me personally, finding clothing in Southern Europe can be quite a challenge, including shoes. Don't just think you're going to give up everything and say, oh, I'm moving to Italy and I'm going to have all these great clothes. But I will say, at the same time, you do have to think about the weather, about where you're going. If you're thinking about moving from Wisconsin to, say, Brazil, you might not need the same winter clothing, at least in the majority of Brazil or Uruguay, Argentina. Maybe if you're moving to the very most southern tip of Argentina, maybe then some of your winter gear might be appropriate. But how quickly is it that you're able to actually figure out your belongings and figure out how many suitcases you want to pack things into? Or are you going to want to have a container packed up and have that brought to you? There are services out there that exist which might help you subdivide a container and share it with others, and that you get your part of the shipment and another person gets their part, especially if you don't have enough for a full container. Some people do, and in some cases, it actually can be a bit advantageous to consider that. Of course, you have to consider the cost of what it would be to buy everything again versus shipping everything. And then also, if you have certain heirlooms, how are they going to actually fare their way across the ocean? That's a major consideration. And then also, if you are moving to a different part of the world, then maybe your large American furniture might not be the best fit for, say, a Dutch apartment. Or beyond just, say, your belongings, let's talk about if you have pets. Depending on where you're going to move to, you may need documentation for your pet to be able to travel there. But to put it simply, your dog may have to get poked a few times by a veterinarian. And also, this is considering that you can bring your pet to the country that you're moving to, that it is legal, depending on maybe if it's an exotic animal, that maybe depending on what part of the world you're thinking about going to, legalities could become an issue. But if we're talking about kind of the average, say, dog or cat, then that is something worth taking into consideration that could be a little bit more likely. But of course, there are certain parts of the world where maybe having certain animals actually is not necessarily not frowned upon, but not quite seen the same way as you might in your home country. So, of course, figuring out things like vets or certain aspects of healthcare for your pet taken care of in your destination could be a little bit different than what you may or may not be used to. Another major factor that many people don't take into consideration is the mental aspect. Moving from your country across the world, or even down the street to another state, maybe across the border, can come with certain mental aspects that you do have to take into consideration, especially if you're moving to a country where maybe the language isn't your own. And while you're getting used to a new language, you may have a lot of time on your own to reflect and sit with your own thoughts and do a lot of thinking. Moving abroad, regardless of whether you speak the local language or not, can be a very isolating experience. And for some people, it actually can go for the better. Some people, maybe not. I know for me personally, having had time to myself, I've gotten to know myself better, and having the ability to push myself into stressful situations that I wouldn't have dealt in my own country, having to deal with things in my own language, that has shown me a different aspect of myself than I think I would have ever seen otherwise, that I know my limits in a very different way than maybe a lot of other people might. And I'm not bragging here. This is just something that I can say that I'm very grateful for, to have had some of the positive and negative experiences that I've had throughout my life. There are going to be highs and lows, and no matter where you move, there are going to be the daily realities that you always have to face. Moving abroad doesn't mean that you're automatically on vacation. It just means that you're living life in a different location. Simple as that. And with that said, I think this is going to be where I'm going to round out this episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. So thank you all so much for joining me for another episode. Of course, the biggest thank you to those of you who helped make these episodes possible, to RafaelDiFuria.com/Patreon, Patreon.com/RafaelDiFuria, or RafaelDiFuria.com/support, as well as the thanks button here on YouTube. And of course, if you enjoyed this episode and any others, be sure that you are subscribed with the notification bell turned on. Of course, if you share this with your friends, that definitely helps the channel out. Or of course, if you have anything to say about any of the thoughts or ideas shared in this episode. Of course, I haven't covered everything. These are just some of the basics, some generalizations to think about. But if you agree or disagree with them, feel free to let me know down in the comment section below. Of course, I'm Rafael DiFuria, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, and I'll see you all next time. Later.